Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Edyard, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. So here we have it in Chicagoland. An alderman, city councilman, is calling for deployment of drones to protect kids walking to school. That's not a surprise, right? We have school supply companies, this in Philadelphia, selling bulletproof kids' school supplies, right? So you could buy bulletproof shields to put in your kids' backpacks. That's so if your child is walking down the hallway at school and he gets shot in the back, there's a chance that he might survive. They're selling whiteboards to districts where the whiteboards in the classroom are bulletproof, so the teachers could grab the whiteboards and hold them up in front of themselves if they have to protect themselves or some of the kids from a shooter. And this is all the news in the last, 8 days. So there's also a city toy gun buyback program. Now, how's that? They want to buy the guns, the toy guns from the kids, so the kids will be safe. So we have, and then also, of course, we have the teacher who raped a student. And this teacher in Montana raped a 14-year-old student. The student then committed suicide. The parents, the student's mother, said that the rape was the major factor in her child's suicide. And the teacher who raped the 14-year-old student received a sentence of what? What was the sentence? 30 days in jail. Wait, couldn't be that little. I was wrong. 31 days in jail. 31 days for raping a student. And so this is the meltdown of society that we're in. And let me tell you how we need to fix this. We need term limits. Term limits are the thing to dedicate your life to term limits. And maybe we'll turn this whole thing around. Term limits? That's not it, right? That's like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Well, what we need is 24-hour waiting periods. You can't kill a baby unless you wait 24 hours. Well, that's like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Imagine in Germany when they're killing Jews and you said, well, I'm a Christian. I have an idea. Let's work for the next 10 years and pass a law that says you have to wait 24 hours before you kill a Jew. That will be our vision. That's how we're going to fight the war. So all these are all distractions. And for the most part, they're distractions of the enemy to get people confused and waste their time and resources, spinning their wheels, accomplishing nothing, so that the enemy could continue to march toward its temporary victory. So this is the crisis we're in. You have a teacher rapes a student, and other teachers will say, you know, he was such a good teacher. You really cannot judge his whole career just on one incident. Isn't that something? And apparently in Montana, they've got judges who agree with that. And so we here at Bob and Yurt Live, what we try to do is to get people to wake up, get out of the matrix, right? Get out of the matrix. Wake up from the mind-numbing culture that we all live in and reconsider. For example, Christian churches, they have their congregations send their kids to public school, for example. Christian families send their kids to public school. Now, some of those kids survive it. Some actually survive it. Many, if not most, do not. More than half of the kids are gone. By the time they get out of public school, they're done with church. They're gone. A lot of them are atheists or agnostic. Many of them are bisexual. Many of them have impregnated girlfriends and paid for abortions. Many of them are homosexual. Many of them are shacking up with their girlfriend or boyfriend. And so we as Christians, we've sort of just, we've been rolling with the culture. And I'm not saying that a lot of our churches don't have a lot of attendees. And I'm not saying that a lot of our churches don't have a lot of revenue. They do. They do. They've sort of figured out a model whereby they could continue and increase in revenue, even though a significant percentage of their children growing up in their church end up hating God. Now, there's no guarantee, right? God created Adam and Eve, so they had good parents. Well, they had one parent, the Father in heaven. And they rebelled against him. So there's no guarantee. You could be a great church and great parents and raise kids who hate God, even though it's you honored God in the way you raised those kids. That's obviously a given. You could be a horrendously evil parent and have two or three kids who all turn out to love the Lord. That's possible too. But the book of Proverbs exists because there are rules of thumb. And if you follow these rules of thumb, then as you raise children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, if you're not a hypocrite, right? Kids are good at spotting hypocrites. If you're not a hypocrite, if you are majoring in what is important to God, you're not majoring in the minors, then your kids, on average, they should do better than kids out there in the culture generally. So are we setting up our kids to thrive in the Lord, or are we setting them up to barely survive or to fail? And I think Ken Ham at Answers in Genesis, I think his data is irrefutable. When they hired leading pollsters to take surveys, nationwide surveys, I mean, they put a huge effort into it over a period of years, and they're finding out that a lot of the kids who grow up in our Christian churches, where people bring their Bibles to church, they end up believing that Jesus Christ was not born of a virgin. He very well may not have been raised from the dead. We probably evolved. The earth is billions of years old, and so on. And a lot of them, there's no heaven or hell, or everybody, or nirvana, really, or reincarnation, or everybody goes to heaven. So we end up losing an enormous percentage of our kids. And one big reason is, here we have in one day, reason number 572 to take your kids out of public school. Reason number 573, reason number 574. And then I think the teachers who are complimenting the teacher who's a rapist, I'd say that's reason number 575. I mean, to utter a positive word about a teacher having sex with a student, that's the time to utter a positive word? Maybe 30 years later at the guy's funeral when he's dead, and you say, you know, when he got caught, he really repented. He was really sorry. That might be the time to utter a positive word about him. Like my mother always said, if you can't say anything good about the dead, don't say anything. Except good, he's dead. So we have this crisis in our culture, and it leads people to desperation. And the desperation is now school supply companies that are selling bulletproof school supplies, and that we're not making this up, that it's real. I mean, you could imagine it in a political cartoon 10 years ago. You could imagine it would be in a political cartoon. Today, it's real. It used to be the concern was kids having sex, you know, school kids, students having sex. Then the concern was school kids, students having sex at school. That was the concern. Now the concern is school kids having sex with the teachers, and it's not like a unique or rare incident. And then the judge, you can tell that the judge wants to punish the culture by sentencing the teacher to 31 days. Sorry, I underestimated. 31 days. The judge, what he wanted to do really was give the teacher no punishment and criticize the culture for being judgmental. That's what the judge wanted to do. When Bill O'Reilly covered this story, I thought he was going to call the judge Chelsea. But he didn't. I asked my wife, Cheryl, why didn't he call the judge Chelsea? You'd think, right? After this teacher is convicted of raping a 14-year-old student, you'd think that, oh, people don't understand the connection between Chelsea. Yeah, my board operator just held up. Yeah, I know. I agree. And I can't even get myself to say that part of the story, even though it's a news story. I can't even get myself to say it on the air. It's so despicable. Even though it makes this judge look so much more wicked, I can't even utter the words. Judge Chelsea. So we have here at Bob and Yurt Live, we have this determination to focus on the things that to God are the significant things, not the things that to the culture are significant or even to our church culture are significant. We ask God, Lord God, we see that families are falling apart everywhere. We see that children in Christian churches have turned against you by the millions. What can we do, Lord? What can we find in your word that will help us to get rid of the shackles of our culture and walk with you more closely and give our kids a fighting chance to survive? And so one of the things, you know, the three assets to the body of Christ that we've identified here at Bob and Yurt Live, the three assets for promoting a biblical worldview, for preaching the gospel. What are the three greatest assets that the body of Christ has? And the body of Christ has a lot of assets, right? There's Christian music, there's publishers, there's Christian plays, there are Christian movies, like Facing the Giants and, you know, all that stuff. And there's Christian ministries to alcoholics, and there's counseling ministries. What are the three greatest assets available to the body of Christ for promoting the gospel and a Christian worldview? What are the three greatest? And here at Bob and Yurt Live, and for all these years, we've said it is the creation movement, the personhood movement, and the Christian homeschool movement. These are the three greatest assets that the body of Christ has available to it. Now, there are a lot of churches. It's sad. It may be a majority of the good churches in America do not warn their congregation that it's wrong to send your child to a godless government school. They don't warn their kids. And why wouldn't they warn their kids that? Because these godless government schools, the curriculum is designed to get people to reject the God of their fathers. That is the purpose of the curriculum. You think the purpose is for them to learn how to do math? It's not the purpose. The purpose is for these kids to rebel against Jesus Christ through sexual morality and all the other expressions of rebellion that are politically incorrect, to undermine their parents' authority, their church's authority, and their God's authority. That is the function of the curriculum in the officially godless public schools. So why wouldn't most pastors warn their congregations that the schools are going to destroy your kids? Why don't they? Why? And it seems that there are two factors involved, and they both start with D and end with Aller. And the two factors are, if you convince the parents in your church to not send their kids to these godless schools, well, then very possibly they're going to have to change their lifestyle and homeschool, or the second best, send their kids to a Christian school. But homeschooling is the number one best option by about a light year. And so if that happens, then what? Then mom and dad cannot both work, right? Mom and dad can't both work if mom is going to be home raising the kids. So if mom and dad can't both work, then mom quits her job, stays home. So when the kids get off of school, they don't come home to an empty house. They don't have daycare workers who are being the first ones to hear the words mommy and so on, all the way on up through then school and after school. If mom is home to minister to the kids full time, I mean, aside from mom going crazy, aside from that, then what mom is not doing is she's not full time, 40 hours, 50 hours a week at work, plus fighting, you know, rush hour traffic and all that, and having to purchase her work clothes, you know, totally different, you know, just the whole life that comes with being a full-time employee, then mom is not going to be at work. She's going to be at home. That means she quit her job, and that means that family's income is reduced by, well, maybe, you know, 40% on average. And now if that family is not taking in $72,000 a year because mom quit her job, now they're taking in, say, $41,000 a year. So then, is that family going to give as much money to church? A family that takes in $41,000 a year, do they, on average, give as much money to church? Well, no, they don't, on average. I mean, other things being equal, with both families wanting to support the church. So the motivations that go into a church not warning their congregation to keep their kids out of the godless public schools, the motivations are dark. They're ugly. They're scary. And so we live in a society where a lot of Christians, they see how bad things are. Now a lot of the really wicked things happening, you have increasing numbers of Christians who think they're pretty good. They don't even know right from wrong anymore. Increasing number of Christians think there's really nothing wrong with living together before you get married, because how would you know if you're compatible? Increasing numbers of Christians think that homosexuals should have equal rights and adopt kids. And hey, really, why not get married? Increasing numbers of Christians think that, hey, if somebody's going to kill their child, who am I to interfere or to speak up or to say a word? So we have the meltdown of the moral fiber of the body of Christ. Now, there's some things that churches are still really good at. Keeping attendance up. Maximizing the weekly giving through tithing and all. I can't tell you how many times I've had people call me over the years and say, if I hear another tithing sermon, my head is going to explode. It's just going to explode. I can't take it anymore. And we have our own staff members will travel. I don't know why our staff members, they're gone more than they're here. And they'll travel and they'll go across the country and they'll visit friends or relatives and they'll go to church and they'll come back and it's like routine. They say, well, do you want to know what the sermon was about? And I say, tithing? And they say, how'd you know? And it's just it's an ongoing joke. It's a running joke. Tithing or forgiving. That's it. They alternate. Odd weeks, it's tithing. Even weeks, it's forgiving. And loving, of course. Tithe in love, forgive in love. And send your kids to the godless public school in love. In love. And so you have the judge in Montana who sentenced the teacher. Now, I think the teacher was really sentenced to 30 days because I think the teacher already spent one day in jail. So convicted for raping a 14-year-old student and gets a 30-day jail sentence. 30 days. I can do that standing on my head. I have done that standing on my head. Almost. You have in Chicago a government official calling for drones to protect kids as they're walking to school. I remember in Detroit, a kid getting killed on his way walking to school. Somebody in a government housing, in one of the projects, shot a gun out of a first floor window, killed a first grader walking to school. And I remember what the city council member proposed as a solution. He proposed closing all first floor apartments in the whole city. Close them all. They thought he was a nut, right? Turns out he was a visionary. Now they're all closed. First floor, second floor, third floor. They started closing them from the bottom up and then from the top down. Now Detroit, what do they have left? 50,000 dogs that are forming gangs, wild dogs that are beginning to march, to run the streets in packs in Detroit. And they said they only have 4 officers left in their animal control division. 50,000 wild dogs running free in Detroit. Well, that's what happens when you run out of money, right? Isn't that exactly what the Bible says? God says, if you're sinful, if you're wicked, you know what's going to happen? The wild beasts are going to multiply in the field, and your life will be vulnerable to the whim of a wild beast in Michigan. So we live in this time where Christians are about as confused as unbelievers. And there's something that I thank God for every day. You know, we have a small church, Denver Bible Church, small church. It's a homeschool church, right? So it's some homeschool churches are bigger than our church, but we have a homeschool church, and we were planted by a Bible church across town, across Denver, and we officially started January 2000. That was the beginning of it was a nice time to begin as a church. You remember when you began, January 2000. So we've been a church for 13 years. And in that time, we've had kids come of age. Because kids who were 10 years old when our church was planted are now 23. And what's so neat, and I contrast it to Ken Ham's research at Answers in Genesis, where churches are losing a majority of their kids. And we're so thankful, and we ask God to please help us to continue to give our children every opportunity to succeed, to not set up our kids to fail. And we haven't lost a kid. Every child, and I'm running through each family in my mind right now, that's grown up in our church, they love their parents, and they love the Lord. You know, you hear about kids who grow up, they hate their parents, they're rotten, and then they get older, and they sort of come around. And I thank God that we have not seen that. It doesn't mean we won't, because, you know, God made Adam, and Adam turned against God within about 7 days. So human beings are free. And Proverbs contains mostly rules of thumb. Like if you raise up a child in the way that he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Is that a guarantee? You have godly parents and all their kids, they raise them all the same, and they're all going to be godly kids, guaranteed. Of course not, right? If that's your understanding of Proverbs, you're a bit superstitious. It's a bit naive. It's spiritually immature. But so there's no guarantee, and we are all free, and that's what makes love beautiful, because love has to be freely given. But I thank God, and what I see in our Denver Bible Church, I also see in the greater homeschool, Christian homeschool community. in that kids are being set up to succeed. Whereas you put your kids in the godless public school and they're being set up to fail. And that's devastating. So what do we have then? Well, we have school supply companies selling bulletproof products. Bulletproof. Right? This is reported by CBS out of Philadelphia. Now, Pops is from Philly, but we don't hold everything against Pops. Al Sharon, our office manager, also known as Pops. He grew up in Philly, city of brotherly love. It's parents say that they're so thankful that they're able to go to this one school supply company and purchase bulletproof. You know, you get bulletproof backpacks now. And if you can't afford a bulletproof backpack, well, don't worry. You know, there's people of every socioeconomic level can protect their kids as they're headed to school. You could get a bulletproof binder. They sell bulletproof binders, bulletproof backpacks. They sell these shields that you insert into a backpack. Now you have a bulletproof backpack. And this is especially helpful when the school goes into lockdown. You know, they got to change their procedures. When the school goes into lockdown, the children who have bulletproof accessories are allowed to get up from their desk, go to the cloakroom, and get their bulletproof accessories. Well, they don't have cloakrooms anymore. You can't have cloakrooms anymore because there would be sexual assaults in the cloakroom. You can't have that anymore. So we are on this program. Yesterday, we talked about Glenn Beck, right? And it's a full-time job just correcting Glenn Beck. And he said that marriage is eternal. And then my producer, Daryl Berkey, said, yeah, but Glenn Beck, that means he's a polygamist, right? Because two wives, not at the same time, but if they're eternal, I wonder what his current wife thinks of him being married to his former wife in heaven. I wonder what she thinks. Jesus thought it was a very bad idea. God bless you guys.